Good morning. I am so grateful to be with you on this morning. I bring greetings of grace and peace from the Riverside Church in the city of New York. Although I now live and work in the city, Michigan feels very familiar to me. I spent my first 23 years in Missouri, born and raised, and the big sky here, the gray sky, the rich colors of fall and the warmth of the people all resonate very deeply with me. I feel very welcomed. I'm excited by the work of this congregation that you are engaging, especially as you examine vocation across the lifespan. Thank you, Pastor Miller. Thank you, congregation. Thank you, choir, for that wonderful, beautiful anthem. And for inviting me to be a part of this important exploration with you as we spend some moments this morning in the sermon considering aging and spirituality more broadly, and then in our workshop afterwards, narrowing a bit to talk about dementia and spirituality. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be holy and acceptable to you, our rock and redeemer. Amen. This past June, a group of 30 congregants and I from the Riverside Church fled the city for a two-day retreat up the Hudson River Valley. The theme we decided upon, the gift of years, embracing a spiritual journey of discovery and engagement as we age. We began the retreat by focusing on Psalm 90, in which the psalmist writes, "So teach us to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart." The King James Version puts it this way, "So teach us to number our days, so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." We began the retreat by taking the psalmist literally, by counting or numbering our days. In the middle of the room sat a big basket full of stones, and every participant was to take one stone for every year they had lived. A couple of group members had 30-some-odd rocks in their hands. Some had 40 or 50. Most of the participants had 70 or more stones in their hands. This exercise produced a lot of laughter, as one participant, who was 89, said that her hands weren't big enough to hold all her years. And she laughed wildly as her stones kept escaping her grasp and tumbling to the floor. The woman seated next to her, who had a little bit more room in her palms, said, "Here, let me help you hold some of your years." Another participant, who was 92, decided that, well, just forget it. She was going to count by twos. One stone equals 2 years. See, you have that kind of freedom at 92. Soon, our joking gave way to a more pensive mood, to quiet reverence as we beheld our own and each other's palms full to varying extents with rocks, with our counted years. The group conversation turned to reflecting on our lives. We spoke of the blessings and the burdens contained within our piles, and we admired the beautiful collection of our neighbors. Some years were hard. The question came, would you give any of them back? Most in the group decided no. Each year was somehow necessary to the next. We marveled at the weight of our individual and collective lives, and we realized how rarely we pause for this kind of inventory. And we discuss how often we feel the urge to deny or disown or downplay the number of days we've lived, to lie about or make light of our gathering years, as if accumulating years was a source of shame. I recalled how some years back when my family decided to throw my grandmother a surprise 85th birthday, we were surprised when my grandmother's friends protested, but she's not 85. Well, yes, she is, we insisted. And it was then that we were surprised to learn that my grandmother had lied about her age for years. The surprise party was indeed a surprise. Her gig was up. But rather than disowning our years, the psalmist recommends counting them, to become keenly aware of them, to honor them and their potential in order to, that lovely phrase, gain a wise heart. Wisdom, of course, is not something that magically happens to us as we age. It seems that part of gaining wisdom is learning the reflective practice of taking stock, of counting our days, and making the turn from seeing the passage of time as a source of shame to a source of strength. Wisdom, it seems, entails approaching each stage of life, perhaps especially the later stages, as an age of opportunities for engagement, discovery, and spiritual growth. The story of Abram we heard this morning is one of our earliest and most foundational stories of faith, and it speaks directly to older age as an age of rich opportunities. It is no insignificant detail that we are told that Abram is 75 years old when he receives the call to go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a place that I will show you. Here, at the center of this linchpin story of the Old Testament, if not the entire Bible, is a septuagenarian. It is here in the Genesis narrative, when the Almighty comes close, choosing one family who will have a special role in passing, fulfilling, and spreading divine promise. While God will always think global, God has now decided to act local. And the local comes in the form of an aging couple, Abram and Sarai, soon to be Abraham and Sarah. Before this story, Abraham has simply been mentioned in a genealogical list, and Sarah has been mentioned as his barren wife. We know very little about them. They are a married couple in ancient Mesopotamia, in the village of Haran. They are without progeny in a patrilineal culture, and they are relatively old. We know nothing of their character or their faith. Maybe they had been perfectly content, ready to live out their days in the comfortable confines of their extended family. Or maybe they had been restless, struggling to discern what to do with their lives in these later years, searching for a purpose. Whatever the case, we can only imagine that the radical call to completely uproot and go could not have been anticipated. And yet, seemingly without hesitation, Abraham agrees, launching himself and his family into a highly uncertain future, onto a path with an unknown destination, clinging to a distant promise of blessing. Even in their old age, and perhaps especially in their old age, God has surprises for Sarah and Abraham, calling them into a new stage of life that entails a high calling to carry forth blessing to all the earth. Here, in this pivotal story of faith, we find aging persons who are responsive, adaptable, faithful, and courageous. We find older age not as a barrier, but as a beginning. Not as a burden, but as a blessing. And I can't help but to see that this depiction stands in direct contrast to our ageist culture, in which portrayals of advanced age range from the openly disparaging to the subtly dismissive. Old age is characterized as either an extended vacation, some kind of perpetual cruise ship, or as a sad, static existence in which one hunkers down to wait for death. Old people in our culture are said to be out of touch, past their prime. They are given diminutive descriptors like cute, cranky, curmudgeon, stuck, senile, sweet. If one were to purely read the signs of our dominant culture, old age is to be hidden or erased, and old people are made invisible or branded as obstacles to progress. The challenges and gifts, the beautiful and at times difficult complexities of aging are simply incomprehensible or invisible in and to a youth-obsessed culture. And sadly, this is what ageism does. It flattens out the rich variety and possibilities of aging, making it a liability rather than a gift. It is an ism that goes largely unchallenged in our culture, including many of our churches. But our faith points us in a different direction. Theologian and civil rights activist Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel argues that old age is not to be regarded as the age of stagnation, but as the age for opportunities for inner growth. These opportunities, according to Heschel, are not about material gain or traditional ideas of success, but rather he talks about old age as formative years, rich in possibilities. Possibilities, he says, to unlearn the follies of a lifetime, to deepen understanding and compassion, to widen the horizon of honesty, to refine the sense of fairness. Perhaps it should come as little surprise that it is during these formative years that Sarah and Abraham are called to leave Haran, to set out on a new phase of life, to widen their own horizons and the horizons of their faith and our faith thousands of years later. We don't know exactly why God waits until Abraham is 75 years old, why God doesn't call a 35-year-old Abraham when perhaps he would have been more up for the journey then. But perhaps it isn't until this point at Abraham's life that he is ready. Maybe his faith has matured and deepened enough that he is ready to follow. It is not until he is up in years a bit that Abraham is spiritually up to the task of turning his entire life upside down in faithfulness to God. And maybe you identify as you feel spiritually up for something that you didn't some years ago. Perhaps Abraham is at the point in his life where he is willing and able to consent to the call, that he has a wise enough heart to trust, that it's only now, after 7 decades on the planet, that he and Sarah have the inner freedom and strength to say yes. I think of one of the older adults in my congregation. She is a climate change activist. She told me that her goal is for Riverside to become a zero-waste church. And she showed me her comprehensive plan that she will take to our church council and advocate for them to accept. She has significant cognitive difficulties and memory challenges. But these difficulties have not served to sideline her, but to engage her. She shared that this is the most passionate and clarifying time of her life. These are my best years, she declared. And by best years, she is not talking about having a perfect memory or perfect health or a cushy retirement. She is talking about a deep inner faith and fire that propels her to heal the world in the ways she can. There's this wonderful modern classic called From Aging to Saging. What a great title. From Aging to Saging, A Revolutionary Approach to Growing Older by Rabbi Zalman Shochtin Shalomi. And he says that old age is the culminating stage of our spiritual development. In this congregant, I see that culminating stage, a stage of growth. It provides opportunities to reconnect with the sacred dimensions of life and to help initiate other spiritual seekers. I appreciate this recasting of old age, and it seems it's best not to wait for advanced age to engage a saging process. After all, we are all aging. And no matter our chronicle age, the work of spiritual maturation, openness to growth, and expanding our capacity for compassion are available to us right now to engage. There's a little line at the end of our scripture. Did you catch it? And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negev. Journeyed on by stages. I love that. Certainly not unlike our own lives, Abram and Sarah's course was not a sprint or a straight line to a known outcome or destination. Their journey unfolded in stages. Their story is not a beeline to blessing. It contains a lot of suffering, some of which they inflict on others. Remember their abuse of Hagar? It contains failure, frustration, and waiting. But it also contains tremendous grace, laughter, joy, and fulfillment. Like our faith ancestors, we too journey on by stages through the landscapes of our own lives. Our purposes and callings coming slowly and in pieces. Through various seasons and stages, we may learn and grow in fits and starts. We may rediscover old passions or find new ones. We may let go of once all important pursuits and find other ways to contribute to the well-being of another and the community. Maybe you've been tossed onto a path that you would have never chosen, a path of grief or illness, financial stress, or the stress at the state of these United States. And it's frightening and frustrating at times. But wherever we find ourselves in this journey by stages, it's important to remember that the call story of Abraham has little to do with how put together and smart and healthy Abraham and Sarah are. In fact, we know little about their fitness or their condition. And it has much more to do with an openness to God's grace, with God's promise of blessing, and with God's assurance of holy presence. And so we take heart today, as we go forward, that this same divine presence accompanies us at 5, 25, 55, 75, 95, 105. Friends, may our unfolding journey of faith be be passionate, clarifying, and compassionate. May it be an age of opportunities. Amen.